Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. This is the word from God. In your book were written all the ways, all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weightily to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. This is the word from God.
Thank you, Jean. Why does it matter today? Why do we have a Sunday where we reflect on sexual violence? Because sexual violence is highly prevalent in our society. Just this week, I hear a report that has been made public by SAPOL of a sexual assault in a woman in a park a couple of weeks ago. And her friend was given an interview and said that she will now be changing her path for her runs through the park because it's not safe. And she didn't want to be predictable. We read of and we see on TV the George Pell case. And of course, the Royal Commission into Child Sexual Abuse. Sexual abuse or assault covers a wide range of unwanted sexual behaviour that are often used by offenders to assert power and control over survivors. Yet forms of sexual violence, often as child sexual abuse, sexual assault, sexual exploitation, remain some of the most underreported cases in our society. Abuse and violence is always wrong. Researchers found that many people in the community hold attitudes and beliefs that justify and conceal and excuse and minimize sexual victimization. Often survivors don't speak out about these experiences because of fear and shame and the lack of community understanding about the range and circumstances in which sexual violence occurs and its impact upon them. Sexual violence is a health issue. It's a welfare issue. It occurs across all ages, all social demographic and economic groups. It affects women and children and men, Indigenous people, young women, pregnant women are particularly at risk. And the statistics say that almost one in five, that's 18% of women, and one in 20, 4.5%, have experienced sexual assault since the age of 15. Over a lifetime, that statistic rises to one in four women who will be victims or survivors of rape in their time. The Gospels talk of Jesus meeting various people throughout his time of ministry. And there's a story of Jesus encountering a person who has been hurting for a long time within her community. Within her community of faith, suffering on the Sabbath day, whose pain had become part of the landscape, that she was virtually invisible. It was not acknowledged or addressed in any way. Her condition was silent and silenced. And Jesus asked the question, do you want to get well? And of course the answer is yes. Within our congregations, in our churches, there are survivors of sexual assault. Some may seek not to tell of their experiences, while others may seek a space for their stories to be seen and heard, and to be acknowledged, and more importantly, mostly importantly, to be believed. And waiting for the church that proclaims that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Waiting for the church that not only welcomed their presence, but the totality of their lives, the wholeness, their story, their pain, their truth. For the church that boasts a loving, justice-seeking God to no longer be complacent and instrumental in being the silencing and the shaming of members. There are voices that are heard and there are voices that have not been heard. And there are voices that have been silenced. Today we work to breaking that silence by raising the issue, asking questions, gaining information, feeling somewhat disturbed today because we don't like to talk about that stuff. But being alert and raising the voice, raising the opportunity for voices to be heard. Yet today we must understand that people who have suffered sexual violence must not be made to feel that they must speak out. It's their timing and their choice. But a loving Christ-following community needs to be open and welcoming and listening. So maybe today, breaking the silence Sunday just makes some room for that silence to be ended. Breaking the silence Sunday makes room for hope. And may today be a time when we acknowledge the reality of rape and sexual violence in our world and commit to support survivors by creating a place where they can tell their stories, perhaps your stories, feel loved and supported and encouraged upon and along the healing journey, and to commit ourselves to the work of changing the world, creating a future world free from violence, including rape and sexual violence. I'm going to invite Jenny to share with us some of her reflections on this issue this morning. Thanks, Jenny.
Well, firstly, I want to honour those who work in counselling and in crisis centres, listening and helping places, and those who work for healing and to put a stop to violence and sexual violence. I discovered recently that Melinda Yates of the Bill and Melinda Yates Foundation has spoken publicly for the first time of being trapped in an abusive relationship before she met Bill. She was young and her boyfriend was controlling her with a sick power over her. She says, "I lost my voice for a very, very long time. That's why I advocate so strongly on behalf of women. I know what the journey is and I know how horrible it is." And this is the Melinda Yates, who believes so strongly that faith and action go together. "I honour all who speak out," that's me, "I honour all who speak out and advocate to put a stop to violence and sexual violence. In one sense, I'd rather not be standing here speaking today, for I know how sensitive this topic is, especially for those who might be recalling their own experience. But my reticence on having Break the Silence Sunday is overridden when I see the Break the Silence sign, and I think of and I remember some of those I knew and loved in my childhood and youth and later, those who have suffered, some in silence, and some who decades later have shared what has happened to them, and others too, whose trauma of sexual abuse and violence has been in the public arena. I remember them, and I tap on this sign and say, yes, break the silence. I think of a young boy in a seemingly... Just a minute. I think of a young boy a seemingly innocent and protective community, the trauma of his sexual abuse, then unknown to anybody else but the perpetrator. I think of a teenage girl raped on her first date and her trauma silent for a long, long time before we heard about it. And I think of a young woman remaining in her violent marriage with us not knowing that her husband had threatened to kill the children if she reported him. She later said it was like living in a war zone, never knowing when violence would erupt. I think of the murder of two daughters of my friend. I think of what we know that is happening today, what we hear about in the news, horrific, and much that we don't know. I honour the leaders of our church and other courageous people who are speaking out and naming rape and sexual violence for what it is, for drawing our attention to the fact that the family home can be one of the most dangerous places for some women and children. We all do want a less violent and better world, and we want to know we are not alone. That's a large part of what our Psalm 139 Bible reading is about this morning, knowing we are not alone, knowing that God is with us. Earlier this year at Pilgrim Church, on their Break the Silence Day, we heard the story of a young man going through a forest. After some time, he realised he was lost. He kept walking and he came across a path, a small path. I'll take that path, he thought, because it must lead to somewhere. He was now hungry. He kept walking, and to his astonishment, he came across a sign saying, fresh bread. He kept walking, and another sign, the same. Then he came to a clearing with a little cottage. He knocked on the door. A woman came out. Yes, she said. I'm wanting some bread, he said. We haven't any bread, she replied. But the signs. And she replied, we don't bake bread, we make signs. We know, historically and now at times, the wider church has not always been a safe place, at times physically, and in having theology and biblical interpretations and understandings of God detrimental to those who are suffering sexual abuse and violence. We know, too, there are those who have been inspired in and by the church from childhood and into adulthood with a passion for faith and action and a belief in social justice. Like this, we aspire to our signs and our actions to be the same as one another. That's what we're doing in our church community and as individuals as we prayerfully work through our faith and action for the future in a changing environment, a place and a people of faith and goodwill, and the challenge of working through healthy biblical understandings and our concept of God. Just as in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan who cared for the victims of violence of society, we know that we are not to be the passers-by on the other side of the road. We are called to confront abuse and to name it as we have this day, however hard that is to be, and to be a sanctuary alert to listening and life renewing, as they say, incarnating the life of Jesus. It's no small task. Yes, Jesus affirmed that the giving of one cup of listening is worth a world of blessings. Amen.